Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Christopher Scott, and I'm here with Bertrand Domecq from the Consecchio Regulator. You're the president of the, we'll call you the CRDO.
The Denomination of Origin of Sherry, yes.
All right, you're the president of that, and we're going to taste sherries. Shall we go through these and see what you've got?
And then we'll pass on to the next sample, which is number 4. And I'm just giving you in this way because this is an Oloroso, which has the same average aging as the Fino and Manzanilla we've seen previously. What I think is one of the most fantastic facts is with the same variety of grape and 2% alcohol difference, 15 and 17, we obtain such totally different wines.
Yeah.
Look at this aroma. This is much more...
Well, the color first is it's very amber, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely amber. Naturally, this is the effect of double effect of the wood where it's aging and the oxygen which has provoked the oxidation of all these elements that give color to the wine.
I'm actually smelling quite a lot of newish oak in this wine. Is this had newish oak?
No, I don't think so. Possibly, yes, more than the next one which we will taste. This has got possibly more.
Because it's got a very, quite a nice, rich, sweet smell to it.
Rich. Well, you have to think that when you smell these wines, the Oloroso is a dry wine, but it's got this strong walnutty aroma.
Yeah. I'm not really getting walnut, although walnut is, for years, I could never get the smell of Oloroso, you know, and couldn't do it. And then one day I was eating... I know, I got the smell of walnuts. And I was like, oh, at last, walnuts. That is the smell for Oloroso, isn't it? If apples are finos, apples and almonds are finos, walnut, that's your Oloroso. Exactly. I was like, I was so pleased because, you know, people expect you to be able to describe these things. And sometimes you're sitting there going, yeah.
And on the other hand, if you put it into the mouth, you will find that this wine seems to be a bit sweet. I mean, it's very full flavored, but the sweetness comes out much more than the wines we've seen previously.
But it's dry, I presume.
It's dry.
Yeah.
Zero.
But even on the nose, it smelt a little bit sweet and almost raisinous, but not quite.
Well, it's the effect of the wood, the nuttiness of the effect of the wood and the oxidation process. But as I was mentioning before, the Finos and Manzanillas are very dry wines to the mouth, because the glycerol has been consumed by the yeast. On the other hand, this glycerol component is as high as it was in the wine initially, and consequently it gives you that smooth sweetness.
And how old is this wine?
This will be 4 or 5 years.
So, yeah, okay. Maybe
so
even,
it's the same.
Yeah, okay.
Again, it's such a contrast to the ones before.
Oh, yeah.
As you know, between these wines, we've spoken about that there's an Amontillado, which is an old Fino, and we have the Palo Cortado, which again is a very kind of delicate Oloroso, much more delicate than this. So, as I say, this is a big contrast. And evidently this is an Oloroso, which is a wine that again should be consumed with food, so you normally have it with strong meats. And it really goes well.
Yeah. The acidity in all these wines aren't particularly high. I presume that's because the Palomino hasn't got its acidity there. So that will limit some types of food, wouldn't it?
Well, you might feel that the acidity is not high, but on the other hand, the pH value is between 3 and 3.2. So it's quite acid.
Yeah.
So it's a question of, balance of cations and anions and things like that. Sorry, anyway, chemical... situations, but it's adequately, it's well balanced. I mean, after all, we have 4 tastes in wine, which is sweetness, saltiness, acidity, and bitterness. Those are the 4 tastes, and when you have them into the mouth, when you have a good balance of those 4 tastes is when you're having, something which is good.
Some people talk about umami as well. And
umami.
Yeah, I used to think that Finos, because they live under floor, and that's a yeast-type product, and a lot of umami flavors are associated with yeasty things that you'd expect quite high levels of umami in your Finos. But someone told me that they're quite low.
I don't think so. I think umami, first of all, as is one of these inventions of the Japanese, which are due to a very specific amino acid that exists in wine. And we have them there. So they're there, the effect of umami. I think it depends in many cases on what you eat them with and so on. Right? Olorosos, I think, would have more umami because they have more aging process and the woodiness and all that will have give you more umami. But going back to something else we started speaking about, and that was the saltiness and the manzanillas.
Yeah.
You remember that issue? Well,
Well, a lot of people say that manzanilla is
very salty.
Yeah, it's salty.
And lots of people speak about, oh, it's salty because it's very near the sea.
Yeah.
How can you believe that? I mean, if you
normally
physics, you know physics, and you know that water is volatile, but salt is not. And so the effect of salt in the wine can't be. But it's just the saltiness comes out because of the four tastes we were speaking about. Once one of them has gone or is reduced considerably, the saltiness comes out. So that's one of the explanations to the saltiness in the manzanillas.
I never really get that saltiness. I know people talk about it, but...
I think saltiness comes out in all the finos and manzanillas equally.
Mm.
Because all this biological aging is unbalancing the wine. Sorry, unbalancing in a good sense of the word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To give it these characteristics. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, following on with the wines that we have, number five is Alfonso, which is a wine from González Baez. They speak about 8 years average aging.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I would like you to taste it. It's a very well-balanced wine.
It's quite fruity, though, isn't it?
Much more than the wine before.
Yeah, and the other one was
more delicate. Yes.
Reminded me more dried fruits, whereas this has got a lovely... Yeah. I never fruity, think of Oloroso as a fruity style.
Yeah, well, it's fruity in the sense of not what anybody could think of when we're speaking about fruit. It's
no, it's more like a brandy fruitiness. Exactly. Like brandy can be
so
quite
it's
fruity.
The effect of wood, American oak, very seasoned. And after all, you have to think about that the what happens in a butt of the wine, apart from having the loss of angel's share we were mentioning about before, we have the effect of concentration. What happens in a butt? Well, what is the majority component of a wine? Well, it's water.
Mm.
Water is a molecule which is H2O. The next most important component in a wine is ethanol, alcohol. Ethanol is a molecule that's much bigger than water. It's CH3CH2OH, much bigger volume. So the wood acts as a filter, a porous substance. So the loss of water through the wood is larger than that of alcohol. So there's a concentration of alcohol on the sides of the wood, which provokes a series of chemical reactions because of this. So that's why we are having alcohol contents which go above 18 and even 20 in the last wines we will taste because of the aging process and the concentration process.
Just on that, you talked about water going through the butt but not alcohol. Some oxygen. Does oxygen travel through the barrel or is that a function of the... Someone said that oxygen doesn't go through the barrel but it comes through the bung at the top and therefore that's where the oxygen in a barrel comes from.
Basically, it's that. And basically, it's that we use the Solera system. So each scale will have a process of extraction and a process of refilling. That process of extraction and refilling is putting back the oxygen to its saturation point. So the oxygen is there.
Mm. I suppose when you pour wines in, you're going to absorb oxygen as well during that process.
Absolutely.
Okay, lovely. All right, so let's have a look at this wine number.
So the next wine is sample number six, which is it's curious. It's a Williams & Humbert 12-year-old Oloroso. So it's a vintage wine. And that I'd like you to look at in a special way because this is a vintage Chile.
Mm-hmm.
12
yeah.
years.
Yeah, you don't see.
Certified 12. But look how different it is, no? It's got less color. It's got more delicate aroma, but has less fullness than the sample number five.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very light, isn't it?
And it's a vintage Chile. Evidently,
Does it say 12 years on the bottle?
12 years on the bottle, and has been kept as a vintage.
All the way through. But normally it just says 12 years on the
12
bottle,
years only.
But you don't know what vintage
not
it is.
Vintage,
or
but
like
one
that.
Supposes, because it depends on when it was bottled or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
how do you run it through the Solera then?
That hasn't gone through the Solera.
Ah, I was going to say.
It's just been kept statically. solar system is a dynamic process of aging.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
So it's interesting here, no? Number six.
Is 12-year-olds normally a vintage?
Well, it should be.
It should be. Yeah, so that's one thing I've never really, no one's ever really been able to explain to me. The other thing that you sometimes get is the vintage date of the Solera when it first started.
Yeah, that's another thing that we use, and we speak about 1874, whatever, of a Solera system which was started. Evidently, it's impossible to say that they're molecules from 1874, because they're not, clearly.
Mm.
I mean, by laws of mixtures and by physical laws and things like that, we would have the last molecule which will go out for possibly 70 years, but not more.
Oh, okay.
So that would be the limit, but there will be molecules which are very old.
Yeah, yeah.
And the older the wine, well, the larger proportion there is of these oldest molecules that exist.
Okay. And just to clarify this exactly, if it says a 12-year-old on the bottle, it is always a vintage, or that the average wine is from around 12
years? It could be both.
It could be both, yeah.
But in this case, I suspect it's a vintage wine.
Yeah, okay.
That comes from one only vintage.
And is that because it's not as intense on the nose?
Absolutely, yes.
And why is a wine that's run through the Solera and become a non-vintage?
Well, you see, the process of extraction and refilling in the Solera system is an active process of oxidation and movement and mixing with other things and mixing with older wines.
Mm.
This, the oldest molecule of this wine is 12 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
On the other hand, possibly this wine, which is 8 years old, has molecules which are over 20 or 25 years.
How do they work out the average age of a Solera, an 8-year-old Solera?
When you read my book, which I highly recommend.
Oh, what's the book called? Give it a big plug now.
It's called Sherry Uncovered.
Sherry Uncovered, yep.
And Sherry Uncovered, I show you a process of a mathematical study of the Solera system and how, by a special formula, you can determine the amount of wines depending on one vintage that a Solera system might have, depending on its rotation and so on. So it's perfectly mathematically
yeah,
studied.
Yeah.
And when we speak about average aging, is what the number that we obtain by dividing what we have in a Solera system divided by the amount we take out a year. Mm-hmm. That would give you a number.
Yeah,
that number is equivalent to the rotation, which is the number of years. Now, the next wine is number seven.
It's quite a bit darker, isn't it?
It's a bit darker. We're coming into the very special sherries. Number seven is a wine which is VOS, very old sherry, which is certified over 20 years.
And what does that mean? Does that mean it's not vintage, though, is it?
No,
average
aging is over 20 years.
The average age is over 20 years. Very old sherry, VOS. I like that name. I can pronounce that one.
And you would pronounce in Latin because it's Vinum Optimum Signatum.
Very old sherry, sounds better.
Well, this one is an Oloroso, which is called Don Gonzalo, which is from Valdespino. It's a bodega in here. Well, here you will see the process of concentration given to its maximum degree. No? So you have this wine has a very high alcohol content, 20 degrees, very concentrated and very full-flavored, very complex at the same time.
It doesn't smell as sweet on the nose as maybe the 8-year-old. The 8-year-old had a lot of that more...
Well, you've got more of that, I think, American oak, seasoned American oak, vinosity evolved, formation of new components, aldehydes,
yeah.
Esters, very complex chemistry.
Yeah.
Really interesting. It's dry, but it doesn't give you a sensation of dryness. It's very balanced.
It's also very... I don't think oily is the right word, but it's got a real unctuousness and feel in the mouth.
Unctuousness.
Yeah.
Not oiliness.
Yeah, yeah.
Olive oil.
It's got a richness in the mouth.
Absolutely.
It's got a real richness of texture in the mouth.
So sorry. And finally, the sample number eight, which I would keep beside the seven so that you see. Number seven, I mentioned it was VOS.
Yep, 20 years.
20 years. And eight... is VORS, very old, rare sherry. And that one is certified over 30 years. And this wine is rich old Oloroso from Harvey's Bodega, Harvey's.
It's got a real, is it coffee in there smell?
Very much so. And it's curious, no? Yeah. I must tell you that, that this has got a very special blend, because as you see in the label, it says medium. So it's a medium, it's got a certain amount of sugar.
Mm.
Possibly a content of sugar, which is a very minor respect to the incredible body this wine has.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's sort of very well blended, very well adapted. It's got a certain amount of PX wine, which will give it this additional value of finishing the mouth.
Yeah, and it does smell. It really has a sort of a coffee, chocolatey note there as well, which none of the others have had.
Exactly.
And is that quite common for a VORS?
Yes, normally yes. It's, again, all the concentration of all the complexity of the different components of the wine, which have been formed thanks to the number of years which they've been together.
Okay, and this is always a mean question to ask someone, but what's your favorite?
Well, I mean, my favorite, naturally, I like all of them. I think all these wines have a special moment of the day,
mm-hmm.
a special moment of for when eating. Evidently, these two last ones can be used, but for very special plates. They're so intense that you need, or may they be these two last wines, what a very famous doctor in Spain, are wines for meditation. Because they are wines that possibly you don't have to have anything with them, but it's the wines to be thinking about, full of flavor and to be sipping slowly into. But naturally, you can have them while eating. And what better than a Saturday morning having a VRS with some almonds, salted almonds? That's the perfection of the day.
Maybe in Spain. Excellent.
Well, yeah, I love it. You know, when you see it rain, you know, we need it. Yeah, we love
perfect. Okay then, Bertrand, I think that's everything. I really appreciate your time. I know I've overrun a wee bit, but thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure to be with you and speak to you about the wine that I most love and feel is the best wine in the world.
Cheers very much.
Thank you very much.